just a little bit closer. Let me have your attention. This is the one you've heard about. This is the free one. This is the one that doesn't cost you a cent.
Hey, kids, these are the cars with the lucky numbers. These cars are being given away free. Free car with the winning ticket. Free, free. These cars that sell for over $3,000 are yours free if you hold the winning ticket. Free, free.
Free, free, free. Free, free, free.
Kids, get your lifetime psychedelic dance lessons. The Fru, the Watusi, the Boogaloo.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Lifetime psychedelic dance lessons. Work out, baby.
Good guys wear them, and so can you.
Say, babies, get in on what's happening. Here's an item that's always groovy. It's not gonna wear out, it's not gonna be out. It's gonna be in, wear it to be ins, wear it to love ins, wear it to turn ins. Your Nazi helmet is factory fresh and comes with a choice of personalized decals. Made of the finest organic plastic, this item will never become obsolete. Kids? Get your own helmet club. Plan secret meetings. Wear your helmets to school. Compare your genuine now helmet to dad's old one. Guarantee complete protection in all demonstrations. Hey, kids, get uptight with your out-of-sight Nazi helmet today.
Good guys wear them, and so can you.
I wish you lots of luck.
Yeah?
I am what I eat, and it is what you eat is what you are. And really, that is something.
From his desk in City Hall, we have brought you Mayor F. H. LaGuardia in another of his weekly talks to the people.
I can't just think of any more to say at this psychological moment. Extremely overcast, but my heart is very light.
for. Oh, and now finally, how can I thank you, singing here in this great, great stadium, where I'm so thrilled and so wonderful to be here tonight. Oh, I beg your pardon. Of course you may. I love the pose.
Oh, I'll make you happy, baby.
Therefore, I really think the government should subsidize these teenagers, particularly the girls.
Oh, the family dog, a trustworthy, loyal, and kind. He'll never mess up your mind or bring you don't come on quite.
From what I've done, I presume I've created more happiness in this world than any living soul, living or dead. Well, gee, our poor Indians. Everybody likes to hear it, and seeing you, I can. It's very characteristic that you are quite evident of the fact.
My name is Jack and I live in the back of the Greta Garbo home. With friends I will remember wherever I may roam. My name is Jack, I live in the back of the Greta Garbo home for wayward boys and girls. Now here's old Fred with his hands on his head, 'cause he thinks he's heard the bomb. And here comes Super Spade, who really gets it on. And my name's Jack, I live in the back of the Greta Garbo home for wayward boys and girls. There is Dave with the paints he made from the food that diggers found. Ruth is always praying and never makes a sound. It's lots of fun and I love to run up and down the stairs. I make as much noise as I want and no one even cares. And my name's Jack. We live in the back of the Greta Garbo home for wayward boys and girls. There's Carl over there with his funny hair, he's never sad at all. And when I grow up, I want to run as fast as my friend Paul. There's the prettiest girl in the whole wide world, and her name is Melody Mend. And here comes Mom with brother Tom, who's probably my best friend. And my name's Jack, I live in the back of the Greta Garbo home for wayward boys and girls. We all know Jack, we live in the back of the Greta Garbo home for wayward boys and girls.
Oh! you, babe.
I got you, babe.
That's enough. You should have let me prepare myself for a thing like this. Never strive to succeed, though in the strife thy heart shall bleed. Strive on, poor soul, thou winter gold, thou winter gold.
Why would you leave,
just mine shorts out, then it's all the water, you know, it's all the...
My soul flutters when I hear dancing in my adobe hacienda.
Listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and all over the world on the internet. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. We've just listened to pretty much the entirety of a soundtrack LP on Columbia Records from 1968 called You Are What You Eat. And it's a soundtrack to a very fascinating sort of psychedelic concert film, comedy documentary featuring an incredible cast of characters. Obviously, we heard Tiny Tim in those tracks. This film was produced by Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, who also appears on this album. A lot of the background music, the house band, as it were, for this album is a group called The Hawks, who got their name because they were originally part of Ronnie Hawkins and The Hawks until they had incredible creative differences and dropped Ronnie Hawkins and went out on their own. And then This album, You Are What You Eat, the soundtrack, was the last thing that they recorded under the name of the Hawks before changing their name to The Band, the Canadian rock legends, The Band. Apparently, Frank Zappa also appears in this film. I've never seen it. It's very hard to find. It's never been released on video or DVD. Apparently, there's only one or two copies, prints, that is, of the actual film in its entirety, and then there's bits and pieces of tattered film elsewhere. But Frank Zappa apparently appears in the film. He's not in the soundtrack, but the soundtrack does feature Tiny Tim, Paul Butterfield, The Electric Flag, Barry Maguire, as I mentioned, Peter Yarrow. And we also heard a great track called My Name is Jack by John Simon. And also at the very start of this set, this LP, we heard a track called Teenage Fair Helmet Commercial, narrated by a guy named Roscoe. And it's been about a half hour since we heard it. So just to refresh your memory, this is the sound of Roscoe.
Hey, babies, get in on what's happening. Here's an item that's always groovy. It's not gonna wear out. It's not gonna be out. It's gonna be in. Be in. Where it to be ends. Where it to love ends. Where it to turn ends. Your Nazi helmet is factory fresh and comes with a choice of personalized decals. Made of the finest organic plastic, this item will never become obsolete. Kids, get your own helmet club. Plan secret meetings. Wear your helmets to school. Compare your genuine now helmet to dad's old one. Guarantee complete protection in all demonstrations. Hey, kids, get uptight with your out-of-sight Nazi helmet today. Good guys,
wear 'em. That was the voice of Roscoe, who was son of legendary film producer Joe Pasternak. Roscoe's real name was Mike Pasternak, and he was a really big deal in swinging 60s London, where he really paved the way for rock and roll in that area. It might seem strange that he was paving the way for rock and roll in the late 60s after the Beatles and the British invasion, but in 1964, the BBC still did not permit rock and roll on their radio stations, as hard as that may seem to believe. But he had that great booming voice. He was the kind of guy that would wear sunglasses while he was on the radio in the booth, of course. You know, it was all about fashion and style and rock and roll. And his great voice was lended to several albums, one of which we just heard, the You Are What You Eat soundtrack. And I also have a couple of LPs we're going to listen to right now that he also narrated, one of which is Roscoe reading passages from the popular Cahil Gibran book, The Prophet, on Verve Records, and also a really interesting oddity on the Polydor label called Murder at Kent State, which is about something that should be obvious based on the name. Also features the legendary bass playing of Ron Carter and jazz flautist James Spalding. Let's listen to a track from that.
The leaden Brooklyn sky was heavy with the threat of rain. Police lolled against the walls of Prospect Park, while young people drifted in and out of the middle-aged crowd. A rock group called Power was setting up instruments, and three men worked on a hastily assembled public address system. They were familiar with it all now. They had done this before. In a half a hundred different places. The wonder was that they could still go through the motions when so many of them must have felt that it no longer really mattered. Killing had brought them together there as it had before. The young people had been in Bryant Park last October and in Washington in November. They had marched in peace parades and worked for Gene McCarthy and Robert Kennedy. And a lot of them there yesterday had served in the armed forces in Vietnam. They wanted the killing in Indochina to stop, or at least that part of the killing which Americans were responsible for. Nobody, of course, was listening. Suddenly, it was 1967 again. The generals whose Boy Scout rigidity had spawned the Vietnam disaster were now talking about victory. The South Vietnamese army, which could not beat anyone in its own country, was now marching grandly into another, stealing chickens along the way to show its prowess. We had a new and glorious theory now. The way to end a war is to widen it. In other words, if you are losing a fight in a barroom, the way to win it is to hit five or six other people in the place. And out on that cold street corner yesterday afternoon, you found that there was nothing more to say. We were bombing the North again. Bella Abzug and Adam Walensky and Howard Samuels came and talked. Alad Lowenstein arrived at the end of the rally, as did Paul O'Dwyer. Robert Morgenthau spoke. Sam Myers of the UAW spoke. And so did a number of other good and generous human beings. But we had heard most of it before. I thought, I've been writing against the war for 5 years, and these people have been marching and speaking, getting beaten, arrested, and tear gassed for longer. And what really happened? Nothing. The people who ruled us go on and on, bombing peasants, sending our children and brothers out to be slaughtered or mutilated. Almost 50,000 have been killed, 235,000 wounded, and billions of dollars have vanished down the Asian rat hole. Meanwhile, we have the Dred Agnew on TV yesterday explaining that one of the major missions of the Americans in Cambodia was to destroy hospitals. Right in the great tradition of Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, and Abraham Lincoln. America uber alles. In the Pentagon, some crew-cut child tries to take the smell of the charnel house out of our actions by saying that the bombing of the North the other day was a preventive reaction strike. That's beautiful. As we all know, Albert Anastasia was the victim of a preventive reaction strike when the mob blew his head off in that barber shop. And Pearl Harbor was a Japanese preventive reaction strike. It is probably no accident that all of this has happened since Harold Carswell was rejected by the U.S. Senate. Anyone who watched Nixon on TV that night had to worry about the man's control over his emotions. Those emotions have always been either mediocre, all that vile tapioca about his poor childhood, his football coach, his wife, and this great nation, or bullying. In the weeks since his defeat over Carswell, Nixon has invaded Cambodia, bombed the North, and calls student dissenters bums. There is something ominous in his constant shift of tone and emotion, playing the God Bless America bit over the astronauts, posing before the front door of the Joint Chiefs, and coming on TV to explain a naked invasion as if he were making a great personal sacrifice for his country. He invoked the 1954 Geneva Accords without ever once mentioning that the Second Indochina War started in 1956 when the Eisenhower-Nixon regime broke these accords by canceling the elections in South Vietnam because Ho Chi Minh would have won fairly. He never mentioned that the presence of our army in South Vietnam is as clear a violation of the Geneva Accords as is the presence of North Vietnamese troops. He never mentioned that we have our own sanctuaries in the Far East, in Thailand, in the Philippines, in Formosa, in Guam, in South Korea, in Japan, or that we have our own mercenaries breaking the Geneva Accords every day in Laos. But perhaps the most terrible thing about the speech was that Nixon didn't feel the need to even lie about a legal justification for the invasion. At least good old Lyndon Johnson used to talk about the CETO Treaty, the Tonkin Bay Resolution, or some other piece of bogus paper. Nixon didn't even feel he had to do that. From behind the wall of the present, I heard the hymns of humanity. I heard the sounds of the bells announcing the beginning of the prayer in the Temple of Beauty. Bells molded in the metal of emotion and poised above the holy altar, the human heart. From behind the future, I saw multitudes worshiping on the bosom of nature, their faces turned toward the east and awaiting the inundation of the morning light, the morning of truth. I saw the city in ruins, and nothing remaining to tell man of the defeat of ignorance and the triumph of light. I saw the elders seated under the shade of cypress and willow trees, surrounded by youths listening to their tales of former times. I saw the youths strumming their guitars and piping on their reeds, and the damsels dancing under the jasmine trees. I saw husbands harvesting the wheat, and the wives gathering the sheaves and singing mirthful songs. I saw a woman adorning herself with a crown of lilies and a girdle of green leaves. I saw friendship strengthened between man and all creatures, and clans of birds and butterflies confident and secure, winging toward the brooks. I saw no poverty, neither did I encounter excess. I saw fraternity and equality prevailing among man. I saw not one physician, for everyone had the means and knowledge to heal himself. I found no priest, for conscience had become the high priest. Neither did I see a lawyer, for nature has taken the place of the courts, and treaties of amity and companionship were in force. I saw that man knew that he is the cornerstone of creation, and that he has raised himself above littleness and baseness, and cast off the veil of confusion from the eyes of the soul. This soul now reads what the clouds write on the face of heaven, and what the breeze draws on the surface of the water. Now understands the meaning of the flower's breath and the cadences of the nightingale. From behind the wall of the present, upon the stage of coming ages, I saw beauty as a groom, and spirit as a bride, and life as the ceremonial night of the cater.
LP called Music and Guy Brand, a contemporary interpretation of the author of The Prophet by Roscoe with the John Berberian Ensemble on the Verve label and their Forecast subsidiary, which they reserve mostly for folk music. I think this record came out around 1969 or so, or right around there. And before that, we listened to Roscoe narrating an LP called Murder at Kent State University, based on the newspaper columns of a guy named Pete Hamill for the New York Post. That was put out on Polydor in 1970, part of a short series of records that they put out. They also put out one called Massacre at My Lai. So there you go. That's our tribute to Roscoe. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's gonna take a lot more than that to break this bed. I don't want to be full out of
Jiggers, our friends are here. I'm ready, Dad. Hi, gang. Today we're going on a walk-along, and we're going to see Leo the Lion, Alfred the Dragon, and the Professor. Yeah, and we can sing along the way, too.
What shall we sing?
I
like Oh How I Love Jesus.
Gang, here we are at the circus.
Hey, Bob, there's Leo's circus wagon. Hey, there's Leo! Yeah, Leo!
Hey, what's all that noise? Hey, what's going on? Oh, hi, Bob. Hello, Jiggers. Wow, look at everybody.
Yes, Leo, you have a lot of new friends here today.
Yeah, and I'm hungry. Does that sound tough?
Leo, you shouldn't growl like that. These are all your friends.
Really?
They're my friends.
Okay, Leo. Well, let's get right down to business now, Leo.
I got a funny story.
Oh, you have a funny story. Is it really funny? Okay, Leo, let's hear your funny story.
Y'all ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. If kings like to sit on gold, who likes to sit on silver?
Okay, Leo. If kings like to sit on gold, who likes to sit on silver?
The Lone Ranger. That's who.
The Lone Ranger. Okay.
You know what the Lone Ranger does with all of these trash?
Okay, Leo, what does the Lone Ranger do with all of these trash?
To the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, to the dump, dump, dump.
Well, I'll tell you what, Leo. We're going to use our microphone here and demonstrate some stereophonic ventriloquism. And we'll bring the Lone Ranger right through.
Hi-yo, silverware. Go ahead, Lone Stranger.
All right, listen. Here he comes.
Hi-yo, silver. Away. I could be real corny and say, you were a little hoarse on that one.
Well, Leo, I want you to help me do something, okay?
You want me to help you do something?
Yes, Leo, I want you to share with our friends something very important. Now, the other day, fellas and girls, I taught Leo the Lion a Bible verse. And he's going to share this Bible verse with you.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay,
I'm going to help Bob.
Yes, okay. And so in this Bible verse, we're going to learn six different things in just one Bible verse.
Yeah, six different things, huh, Bob?
That's right, Leo. And so when you see we can learn six different things in one Bible verse, well, fellas and girls, we can learn so much more by learning the whole Bible. Right? Are you ready? Okay,
I'm really ready.
Okay. Now, this is the most famous Bible verse in the whole world.
Yeah, the most famous one. And I'm going to tell it to you, too.
Okay, Leo. Are you ready, Leo?
I'm ready. I'm really ready.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
Well, do it.
Okay. Here goes.
All right, we're ready.
For God so loved the world. Hey.
Hey, what?
How come it says he loved the world? He's supposed to love all the people in the world.
Well, Leo, that's what that means. God loves all the people in the world. For God so loved mankind. We could say it that way, too.
Oh, okay. That he gave his only begotten son. Hey.
Now what, Leo?
Begotten? What's that mean?
Well, Leo, that's a very important word. He gave his only begotten son. Fellas and girls, Leo, that means that Jesus was the only one born of his kind.
The only one?
That's right, the only one.
Oh, how did God give us his son?
Well, that's really important, Leo, because you see, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he was bleeding and he was dying for us, wasn't he? He was paying for all of our sin, and that's how God gave us his only son. And I might say, his only begotten son. Okay. All right, Leo, go ahead. Here goes. Okay. Leo, go ahead. Leo.
Psst. I forgot where I was.
Okay, Leo, start all over and do it right.
Okay. I forgot where I was.
Okay.
I'm going to start all over.
Well, just do it, Leo.
Here goes.
Okay.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him.
Hey, now what, Leo?
Whosoever. What's that mean?
Leo, that means that anyone can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Anyone?
That's right. Anyone.
Okay.
Whosoever believeth in him
should not perish. Should not perish?
That's right, Leo. God's word teaches us that every man, woman, and boy and girl is a child of Adam's family. We date way back to Adam and Eve, don't we? But something happened to Adam and Eve, didn't it? They sinned. And since they sinned, their family has separated from God and is going to perish for eternity.
We're winding it down here on the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nestroff. We just heard a track off an album with an unfortunate title. Jiggers Story Hour Records presents Walking Along with Jiggers. What a terrible name, phrase. What does it mean? That's the name of a ventriloquist dummy performed by a guy named Bob Bradford. Obviously, from listening to the record, you can tell that's Christian ventriloquism, just one of thousands of Christian ventriloquist records out there. This one from the early 1970s. Before that, we heard a great novelty track called Delicious, starring the voice of Jim Backus, best known as the voice of Mr. Magoo and as Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island, as well as the judge on the primitive television sitcom I Married Joan, as well as the boss on The Brady Bunch and thousands of other great character parts. Delicious from 1958, Jim Backus. And before that, we heard a great garage rock single on Mercury Records, the 45, titled Gotta Get Away by the Blue Magoos. I think I'm going to finish off today's episode by playing a track off a very interesting LP from 1971. It's a compilation of New Zealand rock bands, this LP put out in New Zealand. And the song we're going to listen to, it'll sound sort of like Spinal Tap before Spinal Tap. In fact, the psychedelic rendering on the cover of a guitar player with long hair and a handlebar mustache is very reminiscent of Spinal Tap, as is this song, although, of course, it came out 10 years prior to the release of the mockumentary, This Is Spinal Tap. This is a band called Timberjack, and it's hard to take seriously, but I believe that it was recorded in all seriousness, titled Come to the Sabbath. My name is Cliff Nestroff. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Generation Exploitation Podcast, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Secret art, who dares to help me raise the world, whose very name soothes my heart. Discard your clothes and come on foot, stones and veils and moonlit moths, your body soaked in secret aisles, perfume herbs won't heal your soul. Join me in my search for knowledge. Wives and husbands, bring your kin. We'll be as one within the hour. Let the Sabbath now begin.
Come, come to the Sabbath. Come to the Sabbath. Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath. Come. come to the Sabbath. Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath. Come to the Sabbath. Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath. Come to the Sabbath. Satan's there. Stoves and bills and lonely moors. Your body's soaked in secret oils. Perfume herbs won't heal your sores. Join me in my search for power. Wives and husbands, bring your kin. We'll be as one within the hour. Let the Sabbath now begin. To the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. Come, come, come to the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. Sacred art, who dares to help me raise the one whose very name soothes my heart?